This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, one of the greatest moments of my life? This is going to come to Joe Biden and his disastrous communist presidency and the cover-up and everything else, but you know one of the greatest moments of my life? My dad was in construction. I come from a construction family. His dad did construction. That's what I did. And one time only, when I was a kid, he took me on one of his work trips. He had to go to a Caterpillar. You know, they make the big construction equipment you see all over the place? All the yellow stuff, that's Caterpillar. We had to go to Peoria, Illinois. They had a big Caterpillar factory there. Look at a bunch of equipment. I think I was 6 or 7 at the time. And they had this big arena, almost like a basketball arena, that they filled in with a bunch of dirt. And they had all the equipment out there, and you could drive it, move it around. And the guys were awesome. I was the only kid there. It was me and a bunch of rough, tough construction guys. And they let me run one of the machines. They put me in it, turned it on, and here I am. I can't hurt anything, really, because I'm in the middle of this big dirt thing, but all this power is mine. I can do whatever I want with it. I was 6 or 7. This is almost 40 years ago. I still remember it like it was yesterday. That's how great this moment was in my life. That's essentially what happened to the United States of America during Joe Biden's presidency. Only it wasn't a 7-year-old child who got unbelievable amounts of power and could do whatever he wanted with it. It was America-hating communists. You see, we are suffering now. There's a reason we're still talking about this. We are suffering now, and we will continue to suffer for I don't know how long. The disaster of Joe Biden's presidency, if you just think about all the illegals they brought in, may very well be, on a long enough timeline, a mortal wound from which the United States of America cannot recover. But why was it so bad? How could you destroy that much in 4 years? It's almost as if there was a focused effort to destroy. We're not talking about some normal Democrat doing some Democrat policies and, oh, whoopsie, that didn't work out. It's almost as if there was a focused effort by people who hate the country to burn down as much of it as they could with the time they had. And that's exactly what happened, you see. We are now treated to the latest story. This story is... Well, I've been doing politics for about 20 years now. I didn't really get into politics till I got out of the Marine Corps. But since then, because it's my nature, I've obsessed over it. I do what you do. I read, I listen, I watch. I just obsess over history and politics and things. I've never even heard of something like this before.
And Alex, the fact of the fake town hall is not actually the worst part of the story that you report in the book.
Yes. Other campaigns have used fake town halls. Now, I would say those town halls usually are in addition to real town halls. Joe Biden was doing neither. This fake town hall was in order to film it so they could make it into campaign commercials. They filmed it in Delaware with supporters. But Joe Biden at this point, this is the spring of 2024, Joe Biden's town hall, which was closed to press, was so bad that campaign officials determined that it was not usable for a campaign commercial. So they took 90 minutes, 2 hours out of the president's day, they filmed an entire town hall, and they determined that it was not usable. Now, some people say this was because Joe Biden was incoherent. He could not really articulate his thoughts in a pithy or even semi-normal way. Some people just said, like, the lighting was bad.
I just want you to marinate on this for just a brief moment. I know you already know this because we talked about it, but the job of the president is unbelievably stressful, and the obligations are endless, and the stakes are enormous. I talked the other day. Donald Trump put up a long post. We saw it all. The media reported it all. Donald Trump got up, had a bunch of things to do in the morning, and then Donald Trump had to sit down, and he spent 2 hours, 2 hours on the phone with Vladimir Putin, the head of Russia, trying to negotiate some sort of a framework for a peace deal. He then hung up the phone. He had to get a hold of Zelensky and talk to him about the peace deal he just negotiated. He then had to reach out to the head of the EU and the head of France. And he said, this is one brief period of time in one moment of one day that Trump had to deal with as president. And that's not because he's a Republican. That's the job as president. It could be you, me, anybody. They put you in that chair. Your responsibilities, the things you have to deal with, are beyond belief. And Joe Biden was so brain dead. They created a fake town hall, which is hilarious and amazing, by the way. It's been done before, though. You hire a bunch of your supporters, bring in, you cut off everybody, you don't allow the media in, as they said, and then you get some fake questions that sound real, the TV cameras recorded, and you look like you're being Mr. Man of the People, fielding questions from people, answering questions. And at the end of that, well, they edit. And you can't even imagine the magic editors can do. I didn't really realize this until I ran for Congress 2 times myself, and I saw we would go film for 8-9 hours in a day. And from that 8-9 hours of filming, they would produce 1 30-second TV commercial. That's how much editing there is. Cut this out, cut that, move this, move that. They did it with Joe Biden, and he was still so incoherent, they didn't have a TV commercial, and they just scrapped the entire thing. 4 years, he didn't do anything. But that, of course, is not the point. That begs the question, well, who was doing stuff? Because there was a lot of stuff done. It's not as if nothing got done. Opening up the border, you had to do that on purpose. Remember, Donald Trump secured the border during his first 4 years. The border was secure when Joe Biden took over. So opening it up, you have to make a focused effort. Who did that? Who decided to sign all these ridiculous executive orders? Who banned the export of natural gas? Just horribly destructive things with no purpose whatsoever. Who found this law and that justification to bring in more foreigners and more foreigners and more foreigners by the million? But somebody was doing something. Who signed all those pardons? Remember what a story that was? At the end of Biden's presidency, every president pardons some people, and usually they're dirt balls, and nobody really cheers. Trump did it, Obama did it, Bush did it, Clinton did it. They all do it, and it's always kind of gross, kind of a gross process. And then Joe Biden does it exponentially more. Who was doing all that? Well, that's an important question, isn't it? Because we keep referencing communists around Joe Biden. Ed Martin went on with Mark Halperin. He went on Mark Halperin's show. I don't know why I struggle with Mark's name. He's a great guy. He went on his show, and Ed Martin named some names.
I had a whistleblower in my office 10 days ago, senior Democrat, saying, look, it was these three people that controlled access, and they were making money off of it. The gatekeepers, different characterization of who was using the access, but the gatekeepers were Klain and Anita Dunn and Bob Bauer, and those three were really dominant characters in the White House. Ricketti a little bit, and obviously Jill, but I think that was the three. I was with this person, and I said, what about Susan Rice? What about some of these others? And they said, no, these were the ones.
Ron Klain is an obvious one, Joe Biden's chief of staff. We'll set him aside for the time being. Maybe we'll come back to him. Anita Dunn. Maybe that name sounds familiar to you. Hopefully it does. Glenn Beck deserves all the credit in the world because it was 15, 16 years ago. Glenn Beck discovered this lady by the name of Anita Dunn who was working for Barack Obama. But Anita Dunn has some interesting views.
And then the third lesson and tip actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other, but But the two people that I turn to most, in 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China over, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalist Chinese held the cities, they had the army, they had the air force, they had everything on their side. And people said, how can you win? How can you do this? How can you do this against all of the odds against you? And Mao Zedong said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine.
She really loves him. Admires him. Mao Zedong murdered 50 million people. Mao Zedong, he gathered men, women, children, and he forced them onto communal farms in China, forced them to work the fields, but not for themselves, you see. He worked many of them to death. The old ones were worked to death. Pregnant women didn't last very long. Neither did the children. Can't work under those conditions for long. Of course, government can't manage such things, so people begin to die by the million. Mao then continued to control more and more and more, and millions and millions and millions and millions of people died. This is a human being who was so sadistic that one of the members, a lifelong friend of his, challenged him in really a fairly benign way after he'd killed 50, 60 million, we don't even know the number, 50, 60 million Chinese people. Mao remembered that. He remembered being challenged publicly, never forgot it. And you see, this friend of Mao's was a diabetic, needed medication. You know what happens to somebody when they don't get what they need when they're diabetic? You know what happens to the body, how they are ravaged, tormented before they die? Mao had this person arrested. He not only denied him his medication on purpose, he had video cameras set up in the cell so Mao could watch over and over and over again as his lifelong friend died in complete and utter agony, essentially tortured to death. That's how Mao handled his political opponents. That's the type of guy Mao was. Now, the lady who clearly loves and admires him, she was, at least in part, running the United States of America for 4 years. Now, let me ask you again, do those executive orders make more sense now? Does the mass importation of rapists and murderers and drug dealers like we've never seen before in the country makes more sense now, doesn't it? What kind of a president would hand out thousands of pardons to just some of the most vile murderers? Why? Who in the world would want these people back on the streets? Makes more sense now, doesn't it? Makes a lot of sense. And remember when Joe Biden couldn't function anymore, and now it was public, now everybody knew it, there was a central figure trying to keep him in the race.
What do you say to members of the House of Representatives, Democrats, who are on the phone with reporters saying that the president needs to step down?
We're basically saying the president is the only person out there who's ever beaten Donald Trump, and he will do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're all going to work together on this.
Oh, that's a little bit more revealing now, isn't it? I have no doubt Anita Dunn wanted him to stay right where he was so she could continue to put the United States of America to the torch. How in the world did we end up with a Supreme Court justice like Ketanji Brown Jackson, a radical, insane, America-hating communist nutjob who now sits on the highest court in the land? I think you know how she got there. And speaking of the pardons, I talked to Ed Martin about it last week when he was on.
We saw something that no one's ever seen. Look, Donald Trump has done historic stuff, and people say we've never seen a president who tweets or does this, that, the other thing. With Joe Biden, the unprecedented nature of what he did, back in time, blanket pardons for any crime, 14 years, this is not normal. And he did it over areas that we see major questions. The pardons over COVID, blanket pardons over the COVID stuff. You know, again, at a certain point, you say, might be plenary, might be allowed, but it looks like it's covering things up, right? It looks like we've got some conflict. So again, we are not supposed to be wimps. I know, Jesse, you know this. We're not supposed to be, you know, silly about being soft. We should ask questions. If you do stuff that's unprecedented, we should ask questions.
Why would they take such unprecedented steps? Because having communists who hate America in the Oval Office was unprecedented. That's why we saw unprecedented things, like the 7-year-old who was given a piece of construction equipment, do with it what you want. We sat communists behind the desk in the Oval Office for 4 years, and we turned them loose. And that's why we still suffer from it. Somebody better go to jail. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I love Chalk. I love Chalk not because they're hardcore anti-communists. Okay, that's part of it. All right, I do love them. They are hardcore, and I mean hardcore. But I love Chalk because of how it has changed my life. Chalk has natural herbal supplements. 3 years ago, probably a little more than 3 years ago, I found out about their male vitality stack. Now, these are natural herbal supplements, right? No needles, none of that, no medication, none of that stuff. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Do you know how different of a person you will feel with a 20% increase? That's 90 days. Think about 3 years. I am so full of life. I know that sounds corny. I'm so full of energy. My brain works so well. I focus better at work. My mood is so much better. Everybody comments on it. Chalk, I have them to thank for that. You want to feel better? Just palpably better. You'll be mad at all the days you weren't taking Chalk. Get a huge discount. Chalk.com/JesseTV.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely, absolutely. We deported gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're going to see who you went to
defend. Senator, please, Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You had your time.
Secretary Rubio should take that testimony to the federal court in the United States because he hasn't done it under oath.
Here's another point, okay? There is a division in our government between the federal branch and the judicial branch. No judge in the judicial branch cannot tell me or the president how to conduct foreign policy. Our foreign policy doesn't require even-handedness. It requires prioritizing the interests of the United States.
The statutory phrase says you are entitled to entrance as a refugee if you demonstrate a well-justified fear of persecution.
No, you're not entitled.
So
you're
can
allowed.
You have a different standard based upon the color of somebody's skin? Would that be acceptable?
Well, I'm not the one arguing that. Apparently you are, because you don't like the fact that they're
I'm
white, and that's why they're coming.
I'm just asking you to say that would be unacceptable.
Well, no,
that
I would say that the United States...
a very easy thing
The United
to
States
say.
Has a right to pick and choose who they allow into the United
Even
States.
Even based on the color of somebody's skin.
No one's... You're the one that's talking about the color of their skin, not me.
Pretty revealing moments these days from the Democrat Party. Joining me now, the coach, Tommy Tuberville, senator from the great state of Alabama. Coach, man alive, these people used to conceal the fact that they want to flood the country with third worlders. Now they're really fairly open about it. Maybe I should be applauding them for the honesty.
Well, that's the first time they've been honest. Yes, he'd be honest with you. Since I've been here for 5 years, I've never seen anything like this. But you get a bunch of lawyers together arguing back and forth. Isn't it fun to watch? It's fun to watch them argue about something that I know the Democrats, they're just a one-way street when it comes to immigration. They want everybody to come here, open borders, let them do whatever, pay for everything that they need, give them Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. It's a disaster that's happening in this country, and they're fighting for it. But again, it's what got them beat, and it's what's going to keep all the Republicans in office for years to come.
Why do you put up with this crap, Coach? You don't need this job. You got this great career, this unbelievable resume. You're 5 years in, man. Why don't you go back to Orange Beach and enjoy yourself?
Well, I'll tell you, Jesse, it is, I can't say it's been a lot of fun. The first 4 years, obviously, Joe Biden didn't know what the heck was going on. And we all knew that, by the way. It's not like it was a secret on both sides, Democrat, Republicans. We saw it. We understood it. They tried to lie about it. But they had a ghost government behind the scenes. But we played defense the whole time. I'm really enjoying being on offense with President Trump. He's going right back at them. He's taking on the mainstream media. All these Democrats, they call themselves Democrats. But really, they're just far-left Marxists on the way to communists. That's exactly what they are. But you got a bunch of them that are followers. And it's just unfortunate to see the good ones follow the bad ones because they've got quite a few of the bad ones. But when you have no division in that party, for instance, the Republican side, we have some moderates. We all understand who they are, and we have our conservative group. Well, they don't have anything other than just a far left group that just follows each other and goes by the party line, and it's gotten them in trouble. They can't tell the truth. American people are sick and tired of it. They about broke our country. President Trump is on the way back of fixing all these things. He's digging himself out of a hole, but it is a big hole that he's been in for the first 115 days.
I'm actually glad you brought up the Biden condition. Hakeem Jeffries, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, said this.
Seems to me entirely inappropriate that at this moment in time, when President Biden is dealing with a serious an aggressive form of cancer. There are Republicans who are peddling conspiracy theories and want us to look backward at a time when they actually are taking health care away from the American people. No, as House Democrats, we're going to look forward.
Yeah, I get the lies in the political games. I understand all that. But, Coach, it's not a small thing, and it's not just, you know, hilarious internet fodder that we had a president that wasn't functional for 4 years. Who auto-penned all the pardons, all the executive orders? I remember Mike Johnson saying on camera that Joe Biden didn't know about the executive order that he had signed. This is a gigantic scandal and a big deal.
Heaven forbid, Jesse, we look back at the truth. Heaven forbid we do that. They want no part of that. They do not want any part of it. They want to just erase the past, erase the history, and go forward like nothing happened. It was one of the biggest crimes in the history of this country, and we're almost 250 years old, of hiding the health of our executive branch leader, the leader of the free world, who we all knew he didn't have both oars in the water. We all knew there was something wrong with him. I hate that he's got this cancer, but let me tell you something. We as senators and congressmen up here, we have the ability to go to Walter Reed Hospital, one of the best in the world, and go and have a physical anytime we want. I go probably twice to three times a year to have checkups because of, you know, the older you get, the more things you need done with you. You can't tell me that the people behind the scenes either hid it from Joe Biden or they all knew it, and yet they just did not tell the American people. And that is a serious crime.
It is an extremely serious crime. Another extremely serious crime is putting your hands on a federal agent, especially when you're opposing what he's currently doing when it comes to fighting crime. And Democrat Congresswoman just discovered that fact. She's in a bit of hot water, isn't she, Coach?
Oh, she better be in hot water. This is turning into a third world country. I mean, when you've got people that are supposed to have leadership skills and have been elected by their peers, and you come up and and you represent our Constitution and the United States of America, and you're out there punching and pushing on ICE agents and federal law enforcement officers, I mean, that's a crime. I don't care who you are. You know, you can be Santa Claus, but if you, Santa Claus, if you push a law enforcement officer, you need to go to jail. Something needs to be done. But they think that it's okay that they can do stuff like this. And Jesse, we're losing sight of reality in this country. But they try to make their own rules. Heaven forbid we let them change the rules of our country. If you break the law, you go to jail. And I don't care who you are, Republican, Democrat, it makes no difference. We need our kids to understand right from wrong and look at the example that these goofballs are giving to our young kids.
No doubt we do. Coach, as always, I appreciate you very much. Come back soon. I love my watch. I've turned Wasson watches ruined me. They've turned me into a watch guy. You know, I've never been that guy. I don't have the jewelry, things like that. Wasson watches are amazing. And I like wearing my values, too. I'll put it to you that way. This is a Marines company. A Marine, you know when I got my Wasson watch? I not only got this cool roll-up leather case in it, I got a Bible verse. What company does that? What company speaks out about the Second Amendment publicly, not privately, publicly? Publicly talking about the unborn. And we're talking about a high-quality Swiss watch here. You need a gift? Congratulations. WassonWatch.com, promo code Jesse. You need a watch for yourself? WassonWatch.com, promo code Jesse. I won't wear anything else now. I love these guys. And look, like I said, putting your money where your morals are. We have an opportunity right here. WassonWatch.com. Go get one.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You covered the Biden presidency aggressively throughout the 4 years, and you didn't cover mental acuity hardly at all. I mean, time and time again, when issues came up, you seemed to be running cover for the president.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I mean, we'll start with the Laura Trump issue that you referred. Here it is.
I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
You are so amazing.
You're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was a stuttering.
I think you were mocking his stutter. I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline.
Do you want to apologize to Laura Trump now?
I've already apologized to her. I called her months ago.
I'm still laughing about the stutter thing. What a sell job that was. Joining me now, Stu. He joins us again, obviously host of the wonderful Stu Does America, which everybody already watches anyway. Hey, Stu. I don't know what's more baffling, why Jake Tapper would actually do an interview with Megyn Kelly, of all people, during his book tour thing, or that they really tried to sell the Joe Biden stuff as a stutter. I don't know which one makes me laugh more, but I find the whole thing hysterical.
It is legitimately hysterical. And Megan is just an absolute bulldog in those situations. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that interview if I was Jake Tapper. It was uncomfortable. And she's just so good. There's nobody better in that type of moment than her. She just dissects those situations, and she does not care about the awkwardness. I would have just been like, all right, well, you said it was okay, so I'm going to move on to another topic. She does not care. And she said multiple times in there, Jesse, that they're friends, like that they know each other and have some sort of level of friendship. So this is what she does to her buddies. I literally the day that this interview happened, I got an email from Megan's producer saying like, "Hey, can you come on this date?" And I was like, "I don't know. After listening to that interview, I might want to hold off, frankly, because if I do something that pisses her off, I don't think I'm going to make it through the day."
Hold on, I just checked my schedule. Nope, I'm booked that day. What day? Every day, every single day. All right, On the less hysterical part of this, I had to give a shout out to Glenn Beck and you for this old, way old callback since she's back in the news. 2009, Anita Dunn. Oh, here it was.
And then the third lesson and tip actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other. But the two people that I turn to most, in 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China over, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalist Chinese held the cities, they had the army, they had the air force, they had everything on their side. And people said, how can you win? How can you do this? How can you do this against all of the odds against you? And Mao Zedong said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine.
Stu, it really does explain so much when you just accept that Joe Biden never ran a thing and that woman did.
Yeah, you're bringing me back, man. That's a clip that our own Glenn Beck uncovered back in the day, and it was a huge story at the time. I'm so glad you went back and found that. Two things I remember about Anita Dunn is that clip and the fact that every time she talks, she's constantly licking her lips, and it used to drive me freaking nuts. Like every three words, she will lick her lips. You watch that clip, but she does it constantly. Not the most important part of that clip, of course. As you are, Jesse, always on the hunt for the communists that are running things, and you've found yet another one. And the fact that she was able to do this, you know, partially under Obama, but even a much bigger role under Biden, where she seemingly was making a lot of these decisions, along with a couple of other names that are in this book and that we can go through. But I think you hit on something really important here that between these two clips, Jesse, which is, like, Jake Tapper is a story that is related to this. He is a story. The fact that he did cover this and didn't really go into it and even was mocking Laura Trump is a story. And the media failure on this is a story. I'm concerned that on the right, we're making Jake Tapper the main story here, though. And, like, someone like Anita Dunn should be the main story. We didn't have a president of the United States for multiple years. And the fact that Jake Tapper didn't say that on a CNN show enough is a problem. It's not as big a problem, though, as the fact that we didn't have a president for 2 years and people like Anita Dunn were running the government. That is, like, I think a crime. I want to, at the very least, want an investigation to find out which crimes were committed and by whom. I want to know every single text message that was sent around about this cover-up. You know, the government is so interested in everybody's signal messages these days. I'd like to see every single signal message that was sent about this. These people were in power. They were manipulating our country, our policy, using our tax dollars outside of the constitutional system, it seems. And if that happened, those people need to be held accountable even more than some CNN host.
That's a great way to put it. I'm definitely going to steal that and use it for my own, because it is a good point. We're focusing on the media people. And of course, you know, if it's somebody's responsibility to tell me that a wild animal is ravaging my pantry, then I expect that person to report it. And if they don't, it's a big deal. But that's not the wild animal ravaging my pantry. We had apparently a bunch of goblins running the United States of America, and they're not some nameless, faceless group. People with names, faces, and addresses opened up the border of this country and allowed rapists to come in and pillage this country like it's the medieval times, and someone better go to jail for it, Stu.
Yeah, I think that's the way this is supposed to work. You know, being working with Glenn Beck, we did talk about Anita Dunn quite a bit back in the day. Also, every 10 seconds, we talked about Woodrow Wilson. And, you know, Woodrow Wilson's wife, Edith Wilson, basically ran the country for a while as the president because he had a stroke and he was incapacitated. He was taking his hand and putting her hand over it and having him sign the bills of that she was moving the hand. And you think about that situation. First of all, it's amazing because I'm pretty sure Joe Biden did even less than that. At least his hand was touching the pen. He was using an auto pen, so I don't think the pen was even touched. But when you go back and you think about that, this has happened many times now through our history. We have a situation where this keeps getting taken out of control. Woodrow Wilson's favorite book was a book called Philip Drew Administrator, and it was a book, a really awful book, about how a president would just kind of come in. He was, instead of running everything like the executive has designed, he would hand it off to all these committees and these experts that would run all the country for. It was the best thing for America. That was his vision of what America was. He wound up getting it in the Joe Biden administration, where all these supposed experts and ideologues and, as you point out, communists wound up running major parts of the country, where you take this guy who ran as a moderate, ran as this blue-collar, everyday lunchbox Joe, and then wound up running a country far to the left than even Barack Obama ran. That didn't make any sense unless you plug in all these variables and understand that this guy wasn't even making the decisions.
Stu, on your YouTube channel, let's talk about something decent. On your YouTube channel, you're talking about Trump's policies, and in fact, you have them ranked so far. Give us your ranking, and what's going to stick, what can last, and what's going to be erased the next time we get some nutball Democrat in there?
Well, I mean, that's a huge concern because, you know, as we've seen so far, we've got the big, beautiful bill supposedly around the corner. We'll see and how beautiful it is. It certainly is going to be big. But none of this stuff has really been done legislatively yet, right? So it's all been executive orders. The next Democrat can reverse almost all of it, and that is a huge problem. I think we're getting a little too reliant on executive orders for long-term solutions. But yeah, as you point out, we did a show basically ranking the policies, not based on like my opinions as to how wonderful they were, but as to how the American people were reacting to them. You know, what's working for him and helping his, let's say, popularity, his approval ratings, and what was hurting. And what you saw at the top was I think what you'd maybe expect, the border, his reaction to crime, his national defense. The things that kind of Trump is shown as when he's showing strength, right? People, that's what people want out of Donald Trump. They believe he's strong on these things where certainly the left is weak. Down at the bottom were some of the economic policies, like tariffs and worries about inflation, even though we haven't really seen those come into to fray yet. But what I think was interesting about that exercise was kind of acting like a consultant, right? Donald Trump believes these things. He's going to do tariffs. I'm not a big tariff guy. He's going to do tariffs anyway, whether I like it or not. But the question is, what do you emphasize to the American people? What do you focus on? When people are like, oh, he shouldn't talk about the border because they're saying he's deporting these Venezuelans to prisons in El Salvador, that's not hurting him at all. Like, that's actually helping him when he's talking about those types of issues. People like when gang members aren't here anymore. It's a crazy formula of a way to govern. When it comes to their prices going up, though, that is, I think, a real risk to the rest of his agenda. If that winds up coming through true, one of the reasons he's in office is because people believe in his economic policies. He believes in tariffs, yes, but he also believes in tax cuts and he believes in regulation cuts. And if he focuses on that part of his economic agenda, it probably helps his entire presidency.
Stu, my brother, as always, appreciate you. Come back anytime. Is there anything better than waking up in the morning and knowing you had a good night's sleep? Immediately you have set the tone for your day. Your eyes open and you're thinking, oh, work's going to be good today. School's going to be good today. And vice versa. When it sucked, when that sleep sucked, you know it. That's why I want to tell you about Dream Powder from Beam. One, I love hot chocolate because it's hot chocolate, okay? But you have it before bed. And you would never know it if I didn't tell you, but it has a bunch of natural things in it, like melatonin and reishi and all kinds of things, magnesium. And they just kind of relax you naturally. Again, drug-free, natural things. You go to sleep, and when you wake up, you don't feel like you took something to sleep. You just feel good every day. You want to feel like that every single day? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go. Enjoy the best night's sleep of your life.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare. And frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's wild? I've thought about this before. In fact, we've probably had this talk before on the show, is Democrats nationally, we'll call it 50%. I realize it's less than 50%, but they get, in a presidential election, roughly 50% of the vote. So about half the country votes Democrat. And think about this. Think about how crazy that is. The entire American media, the major corporate companies, all for Democrats. The education system, certainly the public, the government education system, K through 12 and college, all Democrats. Hollywood, all Democrats. Essentially, there's this gigantic protection system in place designed to prop up Democrats. And even with all that, this huge ecosystem, they can only get to 50%. That's how horrible Democrat policies are. That's how unpopular what Democrats' wants are. What their wants and desires are, I guess I should say. And that actually brings me perfectly to illegal immigration. There's a story out of Denver. Probably went right by you, but stay with me here. There's a story out of Denver. Here's the story. Denver has been flooded with illegals. They're one of these great American cities that went full commie, and they've destroyed themselves, and the illegals have just been pouring into Denver and pouring into Denver. Well, ICE has been focused on getting the gangbangers, the illegals, out of Denver. You've already seen it in the news, a raid here, a raid there. They're grabbing illegals, they're tossing them out of Denver. Would you like to know how much of a reduction in homicides Denver has seen now that they've gotten a bunch of illegals out? 60%. 60. 60%. I'm going to tell you something right now. The entire American media, the entire Democrat Party, half the Republican Party, our education system, everybody, they are not just dedicated to protecting and propping up Democrats. They are dedicated completely, completely to covering for illegals when illegals commit crimes. Think about just off the top of your head, just whatever pops in the top of your head, think about how many crimes you can name that an illegal has committed. Maybe it's just headlines that have flashed through your head. Maybe you're thinking about Lakin Riley, Jocelyn Nungary. Maybe you're thinking about another one of these DUI types that splatters a family of five on the highway when he's high and drunk. Just the stuff that popped into your head. Now think about this. That's how much illegal immigrant crime you know about, and you know about that with the entire ecosystem dedicated to covering for these people. The amount of crime in this country done by foreigners who shouldn't be here would floor you if you ever were able to actually get the honest information, which, of course, you cannot get. And it's why, I mean, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino sat down, did a big interview. It's why this stuff exists.
The border was open for 4 years. So what happens is crime metastasizes. What happens is you have hundreds of thousands of illegals come across, and a bunch of them are really bad criminals. Not all of them, but a bunch of them. And then they nest into societies. And this is why we're rolling out Mexican street gang task forces across the country, because it's not the international gangs that are just the problem. It's these inner city gangs that exist in one or two towns here and there and have metastasized and taken over the drug trade, the sex trafficking trade, the child forced labor trade, and the gang trade. They are all in, and no one has been focusing on them because our cities and our elected leadership has allowed them to live without being policed. But that's over now that Dan and I are in the seat.
Another reminder that voting for Democrat in the year 2025 is an act of evil. I'm sorry. I know your dad voted Democrat. I've always voted Democrat. It's not me telling you to vote Republican. If you vote for Democrats now with their stance on just illegal immigration, I don't need anything else. Just on that, it's an act of evil. It is. A vote for Democrats is a vote to bring rapists and murderers into your country as fast as humanly possible. That's a fact.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood, and it's allergy season. I know it is. I know you're sniffling and snotting and sneezing. I got all that. So maybe, just maybe, you would like a little trick to stop that sneeze from coming. Maybe you're on a date. Maybe you're on television. So I can't take credit for this. My radio producer, Jewish producer Chris, he's the one who gets the credit. Apparently his parents used to use it on him when he was a kid. Here it is.
I had a sneeze coming. You know what that feeling is. I had a sneeze coming. And I looked at Chris with this look of panic in my eyes. And I even gave him a hold on. But he gave me the, well, what do you mean hold on? What am I supposed, I can't hold on. And then you know what Chris said to me? And I had to sneeze bad. You know what he said to me? Lemon. And the sneeze went away. Chris? Is this some Jewish voodoo or something? Is this, what is this? What did you do to me? How did that work? What do you mean? What, I want to know. You don't know how it works. You just know it works. It worked. Did this, your parents teach you this? Or what tormented you with it? Why does that work? I'm so weirded out right now. I'm not even happy. I would rather have sneezed on the air than to have a sneeze go away by you telling me to think about the word lemon.
Telling you it works. I just fixed your life. See you tomorrow.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.